Thank everybody for being part of this study that we are about to engage in. We have just finished reading 31 pages of my book on People of Color, the Bible, Establishing the Foundation, the ABCs of the Bible. So if you don't know the ABCs of the Bible, I wonder how you're going to understand the Bible. Now, some people have told me we're having this great debate now on why people don't study the Bible. Why people don't study the Bible. And there's lots of people that go to church, but every one of them don't study the Bible. And so why do we go to church? Why do we not read the Bible? Why do we play church? Why are we just going through the motions? Why is this become a tradition? Why is this sociably accepted? Okay. Now, some people complain to me because, Emmanuel, you talk about the Bible Belt. Okay, yeah, the Bible Belt is the South, man. Come on, let's get real. Let's get real now. And the North, those are the heathen. That's how it looked at. That's right. The Northern is a heathen. Okay, so don't get mad because you're the Bible Belt. And don't get mad because you're the heathen. Okay, these are the general layouts that we have of society in America. So, now, I mean, hey, I'm giving you a viewpoint that is totally out of sync with everybody else. How about that? I'm just having a good time. We're just going to have a good time. We are studying this week who are the 144,000. Lots of people saying lots of things about this. Especially if you are a nation that is a superpower. All right now. That is represented as a eagle. But came from Great Britain, which was a lion. So that means to me that you a lion with eagle's wings. Uh-oh now. Oh, okay, now I'm stepping on some toes here, brother. What are you talking about here? Lying with eagle's wings? Have you ever read that in the Word? Yes, you read that in Daniel chapter 7. But if you don't know the Word, if you don't read the Word, you don't know what's in there. And then if you know it's in it, then you are, you know, you have the Eurocentric viewpoint, okay? Because there is no Afrocentric viewpoint as I know it, you know, I'm just limited, brother, on in what we call last day event. Now, me, I've been speaking on last day events. I've been studying about last day events since the 70s. You hear me? Since the 70s. It's just intriguing. It's just intriguing. And so I have put piles and piles of material and information out and study guides and charts and you name it on this area. With videos, DVDs, CDs, speaking engagements, all of these things on last day events. I remember I was at a church in Frederick, Maryland. Of course, it was called Maranatha. I can tell you what it is. Ain't nothing. Hey, we call it squeeze, if that's what you call it. So anyway, I taught their theological seminary class that we taught for 2 years, Pastor Wilson or Bishop Wilson and myself. And we trained up, you know, people to become ministers. Theological. And so we, you know, we went in Daniel, Revelation, we went through all this stuff, you know. At that church, they had me to, Pastor Wilson opened the door for me to be able to speak one whole summer, an entire summer. You hear me? Every Wednesday night in summertime, we had the sanctuary packed. You hear me? The sanctuary packed. First, we started in a room. Before I even got there, the room was already overflowing. Then they moved to a bigger room. And when I got there, people were standing outside the door. And then we had to take it to the sanctuary. And all the whole summer we were packed. Now, what we were presenting on last day events, oh, I mean, people were just like, what? Are you kidding me? Nah. I'm saying, yes, 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 yes. And this is stuff you've never heard. And then I was told later that the pastor asked one of my brothers, hey, can you get me Brother Emmanuel's material on last day events? And I told him, I said, listen, you the pastor, you come and sit at my feet like everybody else, man, and learn. Yeah, I'm not giving you no material. I'm not giving you some material that you don't even know. And the other brother who told him, you know, these were bishops, the bishops, the bishops, the pastors, or whoever it is, you know, the hierarchy. He told him, listen, man, even if you got Brother Emmanuel's material, you couldn't understand it anyway. And that's true. He wouldn't understand it. So we need to understand this deep stuff. Now, this is now the guy who was asking for it, that was the pastor, was a white Caucasian, European. He wanted my material so he could, you know, present it. Now, I assume that's his material. And the brother was saying, now this is a black brother. I was telling him that, hey, if you got Emmanuel's material, you couldn't understand it. And you are a pastor. Now, remember, Emmanuel has been teaching since the 70s, okay? And this is in the 2000s, so 30 years later. Anyway, bottom line, we have very exciting revealing revelations that Yahweh has given to me. That I don't know what he's given to everybody else, but he gave to me. And so I share this with the masses. And so, I mean, on last day events, we can be going on for like forever, you know? Now, if you go to my website, which I have not been able to get anybody for the past year to go to, and at least tell me they have gone to it and send me an email from there, not one. So I wonder what type of audience I got listening to me. I don't sound like they're too serious, if you ask me. But anyway, my task is to continue to teach the word in season, out of season. If they like it or they don't like it, don't matter. Okay, so as we are going to delve in, you can get all this stuff on my website. I have charts up there. I even got to remember what they are. When we come back from the break, I'll get it. I'll read them out to you. But we have charts. We have last day again videos, DVDs. Now, we were this series that we're talking about, that deal with last day events. You can go on our website and pick up any of the material. Some of it's up there almost for free, bro. And we ain't trying to break you, all right? But we do want you to know and to learn and to develop. Okay, it's www.realsimplepeopleofcolor. Get that? People of color. No spaces. The numeric number 1.com. Again, that's www.peopleofcolor.com. Now, let's get on down here. Let's get down with that. Get down. Okay. We have studied so far. Okay, let me read from the book here. So you need to get the book, People of Color in the Bible, Preliminary Establishing the Foundation. Okay. By now, after one has read the foreword, which we have, the preface, which I think is awesome. The introduction, which I think is like takes it up a whole notch. And chapter one. One should start to perceive just a glimpse, a little bit of consciousness, just a little bit of light entering into your mind. Perceive the Bible as an ancient. You get that? First of all, the Bible is an ancient book. Now, when you say ancient, how far ancient are you talking? We're talking about ancient, classical African book. So it was at the time when the Africans ruled the world. Now, today, we have the Europeans ruling the world. Now, ain't nobody can say nothing about that. You know, ain't a racist because you say that the, you know, Europeans are ruling the world, United States in particular.
Okay.
Russia and so forth. Now, we talked just a little bit. The Bible, it's an ancient book. The book is so ancient that it deals with the ancient classical African rulership of the planet. Them as the connecting medium from earth to heaven. They were the people of the book, the people of Yahweh. These ancient classical Africans had a relationship so close to Yahweh that Yahweh revealed himself to them. One was so close, his name was Enoch. He was translated, taken off the planet. That's right, ancient classical African. That's right. One was made in the image of Elohim. That's Adam, which means red is brown, which means a black African, who lived and was placed in the Garden of Eden with Eve. These two were placed in Eden, which we found is the ancient name for Africa. And we found out that Africa was a name put on Eden in the 1500s by the Arabs to fool the world into thinking that Africa had nothing to do with the ancient world. When all things emanated, Western civilization as we know it today emanated out of the Nile Valley, which was in Africa. The Nile Valley flowed, it got its existence from the Nubians, who was in the African Great Lake region. These Nubians moved northward up the Victoria Nile, up the Albert Nile, up the Mount Nile, up the White Nile, up the Blue Nile, all the way up the Nile and form their civilization or an extension of their civilization as they traveled northward, as we would call it. As they wandered up, they created a civilization which the Western world has copied and stolen our legacy. Let's get it straight. Okay? So, we found out that in the past that Yahweh has been using people over these millenniums or thousands of years is what a millennium is. So the first 2,000 years, he was using the Africans. And then when we forsook Yahweh, then he raised up these African Hebrews. Then when the African Hebrews, when we forsook him again, then he had raised up the Europeans, Gentiles. And for the first 2,000 years, only the Africans, classical African, ancient classical Africans knew Yahweh, and they wrote the book. Then when he came to the Hebrews, Heber, we found out, that he used them for 2,000 years with Abraham and so forth, to the New Testament, the slaying of the Messiah. Okay, another 2,000 years. And then he finally revealed to the world, to the European, the Gentiles, for the first time, the last 2,000 years from around 0 BC to 4,000 or 33 BC, whatever you want to count, up to around 2,000 BC where we are today. So, each time segment, he has given them 2,000 years that he has used them, and it comes up to 6,000 years. That's where we are. We are about to enter into what we call the 1,000-year reign of the Messiah, which is the sabbatical, which is the millennial sabbatical. Now, you might not have heard that, but if you study and read on with us and go back and read our calendar, what we did last year and what we'll be doing again this year, you will get a better understanding. So, at this point, we're around 15 minutes in. We're going to run a commercial, and we will get back to you. Now, don't forget who are the 144,000.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
Phenomenal.
Thank you for coming back and being part of this study with us. There's a few things I said I was going to mention to you when we got back. Well, let me hit the first one. In reference to the website. Okay, if you go up on the website, you will see some of the charts that we have for last day events, some of the information. We have up there one that is called Last Day Events Charts, The Gospel versus Revelation, Seals, Trumpets, and Vial Chart in black and white. So we have this, and it's $15. It's not expensive. Wall chart. And this chart has on it, you can study the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four Gospels that you can study simultaneously, showing you where they map into each other. And then tie that into what the Bible says about the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven plagues. And tie them together. So that's what this chart does. So that right there is a deep study all by itself. Because most people don't understand that the Gospels were given in to give us some direction. And it gives us order of last day events. And the Revelation and Daniel gives us details of those events, but they're not in chronological order. So if you took the two of them together, you have to be able to tie one together to come up with a timeline, and you would use the Gospels to use up the timeline. And then if you wanted to get the details of these timelines, then you have to go into the map them together. And so what this chart does, it maps together the book of Revelations, the trumpets, seals, and plagues with the gospel. And so that's what you have to be able to look at. So as you study this chart, that's what you will get. The second chart that we have is Daniel chapter 12. And it talks specifically about last day events as it relates to Daniel chapter 12. And it maps it into the book of Revelation. So now you're mapping in what they call the last days. Some call it the 70th week, of Daniel's prophecy, which is not true, by the way. And there is no rapture, by the way. And or the word doesn't, it's not even in the Bible. So when we talk about Daniel and the last days events, and we talk about Revelation that gives us some more detail, those two together give you a lot of insight in the actual last events that will be occurring. Then we have the next chart, which is called the Sanctuary versus Revelation chapter 7, Trumpets, and Revelation Revelation 7 Trumpets, and Revelation's seven plagues or seven vials is combined into the sanctuary services. So basically what we do is we give up a timeline that starts with the creation of the world. And Yahweh created the world in 6 days, the seventh day he rested. We make that parallel into hundreds of years. And then it's a millennium such that there'll be six of redemption, 6 years of creation for redeeming man, humans, and the planet. As he recreates it, then in the seventh year, when he rested, will be the 7,000 year, is when he will live and reign, when we will live and reign with him for 1,000 years. So that is how that one is laid out. And then it breaks down the calendar, the sanctuary services, the sanctuary, and it goes into detail of how they fit into the seven trumpets and the seven plagues of the book of Revelation. So with that, just those three studies by themselves are deep. So I suggest that you go out there and hook them up and tell me if you can even understand them. Now, some of them you can see online. Okay, so we even have them that you can see some of them free online. They're big and you have to blow them up. But if you want to really get one and study it for your own and mark it up, you need to, order. They're only $15. So. There's not much you can do for $15. So anyway, so now let's move on to, we had talked about some lion with eagle's wings, which is today, okay? We think the Bible is always talking about European history, and that's how they have it. They talk about that the lion is Babylon, the bear is Media Persia, the leopard with eagle's wings is Grecia, and the fourth beast, the terrible beast, is Rome. Okay, so they put all of this in the past. This is last day events. This has to do with today. Okay, now let's read Daniel chapter 7. Now, how does this relate to the 144,000? Yes, this has to do with last day events, and the 144,000 are the main key of the last day events. So this is why I'm trying to build around it, so that you can see clearly of what the Bible is teaching and how it teaches. How an ancient teachings teach things. Not how modern people teach it, not how Europeans teach it, but ancient. The ancient classical Africans. Okay. This is what it says. Now, we're assuming that you have a foundation, okay? If you don't have a foundation, you need to go back and listen to all my tapes from last year, then come on to this year. Each year we're going to be building. We're not going backward, we're moving forward. Marching onward and upward. All right, now, it says, Daniel chapter 7, verse 1, in the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I was in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Okay, now it's saying that here we see that when these four beasts comes up, that it says that the winds are blowing. Okay, the four winds of heaven drove upon the sea. Now when we go back and look in Revelation, and we see about this terrible beast that is a combination of the four beasts in Daniel chapter 7. You'll see that the winds were again striving, blowing on the sea. And he said, ho, 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 till he seals the servants of Yahweh with his four in his foreheads. And so when we get to chapter 7 of Revelation, Daniel 7 and Revelation 7. When you look at Revelation 7, you will see in there clear as day that the winds are striving again, and there's four angels holding back the wind. Okay? So this is the same time frame. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Daniel, I said, he saw in a vision of the night all the four winds strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Now, this one here that is referring to is these four beasts come up together. It didn't say that one came up, the other went down, and one came up, the other went down, one killed the other. It never said that they're killing each other. Okay? But when you read it from the Eurocentric viewpoint, you don't have them all existing together because they are the beasts. And they're not going to tell you that. Okay? That's for sure. They'll tell you somebody in the past and it ain't us. Don't look at us, but you are it. Get it? You are it. Okay. So when you look at this beast is what beast is living in this day. Now the beast represents nations in the Bible. Okay. Represents nations. Okay. So what nation has a symbol of a lion? Great Britain, that's right. And Great Britain always talks about how the sun never sat on the great British Empire and how it ruled and all of that stuff. Okay? Boom. Right there. Okay. Another superpower. Okay. That had come and had gone and faded off the stage of action. And you ruled with an iron rod. You remember what happened in Gandhi movement. And they were just killing people. And they were in the name of Jesus. Remember that? These are the missionaries. The white Europeans who colonized the world in the name of Jesus. despicable people. Despicable nation. Okay, then the United States, as his babe, comes out, and it represents the eagle. So it's letting you know that the lion is still there, and it has eagle's wings now. So lion and eagle. So when you look at things with TV and different other things, the United States and Great Britain work closely together as one, basically. And so they're the lion with the eagle's wings, point blank. Okay, let's just get it straight. And this is the first superpower. And we are the superpower number one in the planet. Then it talks about later a bear coming up. That's Great Britain. I mean, not Great Britain, that's Russia. Or USSR. Then it talks about four-headed leopard with four wings. Okay? And that's represent, many people believe that represents the Asian powers. India and China and Japan and all of those type of things. Korea, those. And then the last one is the terrible beast, which is Europe, the United States of Europe. And that's what's happening. They're going to be pulling together to control and run the planet. They're the smallest group of people on the planet, the Europeans, and they want to run the whole planet. But that's how they think. So let's take a break at this moment. And let's get back to hear from our sponsors.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
Phenomenal.
We back. Okay. Now, we were talking about the Eagle Wings and Last Day Events. And so some of the topics that I have, when you go up on the website, you can go and click on Calendar of Events. I think you can click underneath there. You'll see one. The dates aren't updated. I need to update that. But you'll see in one of the categories, right near the top, it'll say People of Color in the Bible, Health, and then it'll say Last Day Events. Click on Last Day Events, and it'll send you over here where we have our topics. Okay? And these are the topics of Last Day Events Workshop that you can have me come speak at your crib. Some of them you can come up and look at and see on the web. Okay? And you can see them. I mean, they're PowerPoint presentation. I think you like them. That's only if you're into studying the Word. If you're into just hanging out, it is not the place to be. All right? But only if you want to be in search of truth. Okay, these are topics. What is the New World Order? Okay, then we have a question and answer period after that. Then, introduction to Elohim's prophetic timetable. Did you know that Elohim had a prophetic timetable? Did you know that his calendar is a prophetic timetable? Do you know that the holy days, let me take that again. Do you know that the holidays we practice today, we are worshiping Yahweh, or we are worshiping this world, or we are worshiping Lucifer, the god of this world? Did you know that? Everybody has their holidays, which are holy days. Just drop the Y and put in an I, and it's called holy days. So be for sure, you are not doing neither. You're worshiping one or the other. Okay, so next one. Okay, this is introduction. This is beginning. Introduction to Elohim's calendar, prophetic timetable revealed through the sanctuary services. That's how it's described. Also, you have once you understand that, then you'll be able to understand the charts that correlate that I mentioned earlier. Okay, then we have another one that you can have me present on, the last generation and a perfected people. The next one is Last Day Events in chronological order using the Gospels. And so that's what we do. Remember I mentioned already to you that, hey, if you look at the Gospels, that they're in chronological order for Last Day Events. And then you go to Daniel Revelation to get the in-depth detail. And we have that on the chart. So once you understand these studies, then you can go back to the charts that we were talking about earlier. Okay. Next one is, what book is sealed with seven seals? Now, in the book of Revelation, see, a lot of the stuff that we talk about here is just deep. You know what I mean? I mean, just deep. I don't even know what to say. But, okay, right here, we go talk about Revelation chapter 5 for a minute, because that's where the book that is open is at. Okay, notice what it says in Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse number 1. And I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Amen. Who is the question? Who is worthy? And no man in heaven, do you hear that? Not in heaven. Nor in earth, not in the earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now notice that. So this is some serious stuff. So what is sealed with seven seals? And I declare unto you, I reveal that to you in our study. What book is sealed with the seven seals? That's what we address in that study. Obviously, you know, we're going through Revelation chapter 5. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. So why is John crying? Because no one is able to open the book. No one is to reveal to the world what is going to happen in the last days, what is going to happen. And that's what we are talking about. That's what the book is. That's what it's revealing. All right. Now, let's get back to my list of things that we cover. Okay, the next one is the seven seals of the book of Revelation. Okay. Now, many people, you know, have heard about the seven seals of the book of Revelation. How many of us know that we're in the third seal? Okay, now. So the first seal is already opened, and the world and the churches ain't tell you. The second seal already opened, and we're living in it, and no one is telling you. And the third seal is opening, and nobody's telling you. So my point here is that we're between the second and the third seal. And it'll be a shame for us to go through the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven plagues, and the church not know, and the people in it deceived, not knowing what's going on around. That would be a shame. A real shame. But if you don't study, I guess you don't care. Because you surely ain't going to learn. Right? And all you're going to do is be deceived. So, wake up, my brothers and sisters. Arise, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. Amen. Now, then the next one that we give presentations on, or that we have available for you all, how could the seven trumpets of the Apocrypha really occur? Okay, then we go through the scenarios of what be happening as the Bible talks about the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. As you can see, there's a lot of material. It's a lot of material, my brothers and sisters. But hey, something that's very much needed. Then the next study we have is how could the seven plagues or vows of the Apocrypha really occur? And we go through that. Another study that we have, if you're interested in us, we can answer. Historical views of Revelation. There's many historical views that everybody is presenting, especially the European ones. Okay? So, we talk about them. And most of the ones that you'll hear from some of the churches, that's what they are. They're just historical viewpoints. They have nothing to do with the present. All the stuff happened in 1844 or prior, 1870, in Europe. Everything centered around Europe, European, Rome. Protestant falling away. Okay, everything revolves around that. So, okay, now, then we have the next one, which is called the Battle of Armageddon. What is it? How does it occur? When is it occur? Is it occurring now? Are we about to get into the throes of it? Amen. All right, now. Then we go into what we call another prophecy, 70 weeks of Daniel. Daniel's 70 weeks. And that's a heavy study. That study is heavy. So anyway, those are the list of the teasers that we can give you. If your church and your group is ready to study to show themselves approved. A workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Not from a European viewpoint. Not from their pagan viewpoint. Remember, we already talked about Yahweh has been using people on the planet for so many years. He used the European for the last 2,000 years. Yes, they've fallen off. He used the African Hebrews, and we've fallen off. 2,000 years. He used the Africans, and we've fallen off. Okay? So, for the Africans have known Yahweh for these 6,000 years. The Gentiles have not. They've only known for 2,000 years. And the Hebrews have only known Yahweh for the last 4,000 years. So, the Africans have known Yahweh and have been following him longer than anyone else on the planet. And that is what we've been studying in the book in the very beginning, when it talks about all the Garden of Eden being around Africa and the Horn of Africa and so forth. All right, we will take our last break at this time. And when we come back, we will continue.
Hello, kingdom dwellers. Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
Thank you for coming back and being part of our study, helping us understand what is going down. Yes, we want everyone to awake and understand what Yahweh is sharing with us in these last days, so that we might know what is truth. Now, as we are studying here, as we're looking, as we're investigating, we've mentioned to you all the different things that we have available that you can go up on the website, see for free, order whatever you want. Okay, as we were saying, that these events all occur around the same time. Okay, and the Bible helps you clarify that. Okay, we're reading here in my book, People of Color, Bible Establishing Foundation. I think it's page 32. It says, as we mentioned earlier, that it should be clear by now that the Bible is talking to and about Africans, classical, ancient classical Africans. This present truth for this late hour in Earth's history shows that this book was written in a typical ancient classical African holistic approach to develop every aspect of the human being or the whole human being. That's what the Bible was designed. It was not a religious book. It is not to teach you about religion as it is being taught by the Europeans today, by the typical denominations. It is not that. It is a holistic book that deals with all the being, our mind, our body, and our soul. What to eat, what to drink, or what to say. And people don't want to hear that, so they'll tune that out. Okay, but to their own detriment. Okay. The Bible starts with a perfect couple. All right now. Adam and Eve, whom Elohim created in his own image. We have learned so far that Adam and Eve today will be classified by different authoritative sources as Nubian, Cushite, and or Ethiopian. So that's what Adam and Eve were. So all of the descendants up to Noah and beyond were African, period, Nubians. Okay? After the flood, they're called Cushites because you have the children of Cush. And when the white man shows up, then they're called Ethiopians because that's what they called it, which means bird-faced people. So these three different names are still the same people. Adam and Eve's descendants, African. Doesn't change. Okay? From a biblical perspective, they were classical African Edenic people because they lived in Eden. So just like you live in America, you're American. So if you're born and raised in Eden, you're Edenic people. So they're classical African Edenic people, making sure you understand that they are not Europeans nor Asians. They are African in nature. They were placed in classical Africa, or Eden, in the region known as Eden. The Bible ends with Yahweh's perfected people. So Yahweh starts off the book with his perfected people, made on the sixth day. Then he ends it with his perfected people, the 144,000. Do you find that interesting or not? So that means through this whole journey for the last 6,000 years, that's all he's been trying to work for. And we have not been cooperative with him. And so that's why we have been going on for this struggle for 6,000 years. So we must think about it, meditate on it, and understand what is going on. This is similar to what he started with in the beginning, but this time they are fully developed, fully reflecting Yahweh's image and character to the universe. So this is, he started off with Adam and Eve, and they were reflecting him to the world, to the animals, to the trees, to everything of nature, everything, to the angels, to anything and everybody saw. Then Lucifer came in and he took it and he became the god of this world. He usurped our authority as the prince of the power. Prince of this world, he became the prince of the power of the air and worketh in the spirit of disobedience. Okay, so from there, he comes back and creates Yeshua and makes him perfect. And he lives around 4,000 years after all of that. And so that leaves us 2,000 years left. And so when you parallel that, we'll parallel it later in the Passover. Okay? Because you laid aside the lamb on the 10th day of the first Hebrew month. And then on the 14th day, you slew it. So there was 4 days in between, and that's where the 4,000 years come in. As the Bible says that one day is with Yahweh is as 1,000 years. So that 4,000 years, and that's where he came. 4,000 B.C. to around 0 B.C., that's when he was born. So that's 4,000 years. And then 2,000 years left is now around 2,000 B.C. A.D. Okay? So that's where we find ourselves. And so at this time frame, he wants to reflect the people. And we have studied already that the Bible says that the creation moans and groans for the manifestations of the sons of Elohim. That all of nature is waiting for us. Even we have now come to the realization that we must live sustainably. Did you know that? We came to that conclusion. How did we come to that conclusion? Because we're destroying the planet. Okay? So even the Chinese, the Asians, the Indians, the Native Americans, the Africans, everybody and the, you know, people are realizing who live with nature and live on nature, understand that. But those who are caught up in the Western world of capitalism, which they're trying to make dominant around the entire planet, the people ripping off people and making, you know, merchandise of your soul. Okay? That's all that is. Through the church and through the government. Simple as that. Okay. So, this is a day, a dawn for something new. Okay. We said that the Bible ends with Yahweh's perfect people. This is similar to what he started with in the beginning. But this time they will be fully developed, fully reflecting Yahweh's image and character to the universe. When Adam and Eve were brought in and they were not fully developed, that's how they were able to be suckered in by Lucifer. So this group, the 144, will have perfected themselves through hardship. Adam and Eve, I can assume that they had it easy. But this group, they will have it very difficult. They will be like going through the fire, like Job did. Okay? So let's realize that. The Bible tells us these 144,000 Israelites, or as I call them, the Israelites or the Hebrews or the African Hebrew Israelites, because as we mentioned, the first people that were the Africans. And when each group mixed, the Africans mixed with the Hebrews, that's how they became African Hebrews. And then the Gentiles mixed with the African Hebrews and the Africans and the Hebrews to learn about the truth. So, when we talk about this 144,000 are now being honored by being sealed forever in Yahweh's name written on their foreheads. These honors will forever be identified with Yahweh. These honorees, which is the 144,000, will forever be identified with Yahweh because they have become one with the Creator of the universe. They will follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And that is to perfection, wherever he goes. Now, let's read here a little bit in Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, we're going to start off at verse number one, I guess we start there. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that they should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, remember, we have read already in Daniel chapter 7 that there was the four winds were blowing on the earth. Okay, that's what we read in Daniel chapter 7. And then these four beasts that come up. And now we have here It's asking for the four winds, that they're holding back the four winds, that they do not blow on the earth. Now, they were blowing on the sea. I don't think it was blowing on the earth. They were just blowing on the sea in Daniel. So here it's saying he doesn't want them to blow on the earth or on any tree or on the sea. Okay. And then he says, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their forehead. So that's what everything is waiting for, the sealing of the 144. So that they can fully reflect Yahweh's character to the world, so that people might be able to know what Yahweh had originally intended for us. Not in our fallen condition, but in another condition. And that's why they would be sealed in their foreheads, reflecting Yahweh's character, his thoughts, his motives, his instruction, his ideal, his ideology. And I held the number of them which were sealed, and there was sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay, so remember, it's talking specifically not about the Gentile church. It's just talking specifically about the 12 tribes of Israel. Nothing more. Now, Europeans and Gentiles have tried to apply this to them. And some of them have said that this is, hey, this is the church. And depending on you, you can have the character of any of the 12 tribes. And all that's a bunch of nonsense. Because that's not what the book says. It makes it crystal clear that this 144 will only come from the children of Israel. Now, some people teach that. And so they say for us to go over to Europe, and that America needs to protect the European Jews. And that the United States had their hand in putting the European Jews that had gone through the Holocaust in Russia and in Germany and throughout Europe, and putting them in what we call the Northeast Africa, or what we call today the Middle East. And so now they have a land where they are. And so now we, through the religious right, mainly the Republicans, but the religious right, and they're teaching that we ought to protect the European Jews, but then have nothing to do with the people we're talking about here, the 144,000. They have nothing to do with Abraham's descendants. They have nothing to do with that. They're Jews. Anybody can become a Jew. Remember that. European Jew, a Jew is a Jew. It's just a Jew is a Jew. A Jew is a religion. It's like Catholicism religion, Baptist is a religion, Pentecostal is a religion, Seventh-day Adventist is a religion, Jehovah's Witness is a religion, Scientology is a religion. So all of these are religions. Okay? So anybody can join your religion. It has nothing to do with you being part of their tribe. So he's making clearly of the tribes, of the 12 tribes of Israel. Don't get that confused with anything else, my people. Then he lists them, just in case we do get them confused, because we are. Of the tribe of Judah, the 12,000 were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, the 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, is sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, are 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin was sealed 12,000. So he just gives it to you in detail that you cannot spiritualize. They say this is spiritual Israel. No, that is not true. It tells you this is physical Israel. Okay? So you can believe whatever you want, but that's what the book says. You decide. Okay, verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all kindreds and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So now we have another group. So we have two groups here, all in chapter 7. One group, which is the 144,000 of the tribe, 12 tribes of Israel. And then another group of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, every multitude. So he can't be saying, so are we saying that every kindred multitude, that's spiritual too? That's not real? Okay, so you cannot play the game here. You either have to say that the 12, that the every multitude nation, lo, a great multitude, which no man can number of all nations and kindred, tongue, and people, they're spiritual? No, they're not spiritual. Those are physical, just as clear as day. Every nation under heaven, except for the 144,000. There's two groups. He separates the two. Okay? Both are physical and both are real. So you cannot eat your cake, cut your pie, and eat it too. You can't say that the 144,000 in the verses before verse 9 has to do with a spiritual Israel. Because you Europeans want to take everything from everybody. First is European Jews, which there isn't, not from the Bible. I mean, yeah, there's European Jews, sorry. But there's no European Hebrews. There's no European Israelites, okay? So, they're only Black, African, classical, Hebrew Israelites. That's all they are. Okay? So that group, he specially assigned that he's going to use the last day. But, you know, as usual, they're thieves, so they steal everybody's stuff. So they're stealing that, to claim it is theirs. And then we'll bomb everybody on the planet to prove that it's theirs. That Yahweh has anything to do with their killing. No, he ain't got nothing to do with that. Okay. So, as we have these two groups, this great multitude that no man can number, this 144,000 with Yahweh, these two separate groups. Okay? Now, my understanding is this great multitude that no man can number, these are the people that Yahweh has raised up. Okay, from the beginning of time to now. So yes, there is a great multitude. So let's finish reading. Okay. And cried with a loud voice, verse 10, saying, salvation to our Elohim, which sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped Elohim, saying, amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be unto our Elohim forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders asked, saying to me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the thrones of Elohim and serve him day and night in the temple. Yes. And he that sat upon the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. Neither shall the sun light upon them nor any heat. So we see here that this group here, he says that, who are they? They came out of great tribulation. And we know in the last days there will be a great tribulation. And we'll talk about that in one of our studies later as we go through last day events. Like I said, if you're interested, let us know. We give presentations at your church or organizations, whatever. Help you understand about these things. Now, it isn't what we've been told that people teach from a European standpoint, that the Great Tribulation is for 7 years, and we go through the seven seals, seven trumpets, the seven plagues. The downfall with that is we're already in the second seal going into the third. So are we saying what? What are we saying? So are we saying that the seals says that the 7 year is already started, the 7 years? See, so that's where the fallacy of all of this comes in. Okay? So I pray that you are getting a better understanding. Okay, then let's get back to the book, and it says, Yahweh has set up before every soul the prize of being sealed with Yahweh's name written on their forehead. He set this before Adam and Eve so they could become one, or at one moment, atonement with Elohim. According to the Bible, the mystery of godliness is when an individual becomes one with Elohim, and it is reflected and it is referred to as the Messiah in you, or Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, verse 26 through 28. This is Yahweh's reward and prize for those who become his faithful stewards. The prize of one becoming the temple of Elohim. You understand that? The temple of Elohim, that he will live and breathe. Not a temple where you go put your money, your gold and your silver and all these mega churches. No, he ain't talking about that. That your temple becomes the temple of Elohim. And being filled with the glory of Yahweh is awesome. Just as he filled the temple in the past, he will fill us, our temple, our being also. What a prize to be desired. One with Elohim. Yahweh desires for us all to strive toward the mark of the prize of the higher calling, found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 14. That the prize of the high calling in the Messiah, which brings one to perfection. As you stretch for the prize, as you stretch for it, as you reach for it, as the prize, what is the prize of being one with Elohim? What a prize to be desired. One with Elohim. Yahweh desires for us to strive toward the mark of the prize of the higher calling in the Messiah. That is that his life will be in your life, which brings one to perfection. Because he says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which in Yeshua the Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua the Messiah has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8. Starting at verse 1. Go back and check it out. That's what he's called. This is done when one, when they yield every aspect of their lives fully to the control of their Creator. They reach for the prize of the high calling in Elohim, the Messiah, in whom the hope of glory, in whom is our hope of glory. The glory of Elohim filled the temple in the Old Testament during the days of Moses and Solomon, which was just an example of how the glory of Elohim will fill each and every one of our temples, our mind, body, and soul. But we have to give that up to him. We have to be willing to give him our mind, body, and soul. This is the hope and glory we should all be looking to obtain. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not as though I had already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Yeshua the Messiah. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press. Get that? That's what the key is. This is what the 144 is doing. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Elohim in Yeshua the Messiah. That is heaven. So we are at the point of Earth's history that Yahweh wants to give to us as he gave to Adam and Eve. He wants to reflect himself to us, to the world. Will you yield yourself to him? Will you allow him to take over? It is up to you. You decide what you want to do. As we said, you can visit our website, www.peopleofcolornumeric1.com. That's www.peopleofcolornumeric1.com. So, until next week, may Yahweh bless you. May he keep you. May his wonderful grace pour upon you, and may he give you peace. And I know I did not read, I did not sing you a song today. But I will try next week. I'll have to do two. I'll try to remember that. So, like I said, contact me if you are enjoying any of these studies through our webpage. Just go to our website and you can hit contact us. Thank you. And may Yahweh bless you. May His wonderful grace be upon you. Because He must give us peace.